what y'all's like. The flow is so strong that we're just going to play one song at a time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whee!
What y'all's like. Thank you very much for calling Patrick during the break.
Yeah, Patrick, we're sorry.
Yeah, we do forgive you for that. Patrick's parents wouldn't let him have the car to come down to deliver us milkshakes. So all of you out there who...
Great, you know what you just did? He's like, oh, no, dude, because he's going to go to school. Because everybody that he goes to school with... Wait, it's summer. Never mind.
It's fine.
People calling him up going, Patrick can't get the car. Patrick can't get the car.
Well, I was just trying to imagine, like, the pitch session that goes on, like, you know, between Patrick and his parents to try to talk, you know, talk them into getting the car right there.
You know, there's these two guys that are on the radio.
They get very thirsty.
Well, I'm going to go buy them milkshakes.
They're very persuasive. If you were listening, you would drive me down there.
Yeah, that really is a kind of odd thing. Mm-hmm. Mom, Dad, can I have my allowance? Why? I want to buy these guys on the radio milkshakes. Have we not taught him anything about thrift? You were supposed to teach him about that stuff!
Shut up!
I'm sorry. Okay. I took the dad character from you.
No, that's all right, man.
I didn't see you leaning back until I had already started the dad voice.
Yeah, these things happen, man.
But so, Patrick, thank you. May many a beautiful woman fall upon you this week.
Mm-hmm. And may you be prepared and catch them.
Yeah, not from a very great height.
Yes.
Because that'd hurt. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how beautiful they are, if they fall from high enough.
Unless they're very small and very light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, may you know, like, where they live so you can point it out to them.
Whee!
Yeah. Okay, little segment right about now. WEFT is a non-commercial station. We fund ourselves through Pledge Drive, but, you know, that's you know, it gets us running, but let's, you know, it's not a huge cash cow. What Jails Like doesn't do commercials, per se. So, you know, we're forced to turn to other sources for revenue for the amazing bits of technology that we feature on the show. You know, just the superior production values.
Yeah, like
we find.
2000 from Texas Instruments.
We're looking at upgrading our.
Yeah, we want to go from the 500 to the 1575.
Much more bass, you know, deeper, richer sound. It's a world of difference. So what Jails Like will do is loan ourselves out to corporations. We, you know, we're an idea factory. We sit down. The whole idea of improvisation is come up with tons of ideas, give it form, you know, put it out there in a palatable format. And what we do on What Jails Like is a little bit of underwriting from time to time. We take ideas from corporations. You know, they give us requests. We come up with a new product for them that can really, you know, expand their profit margin and help them crush the competition.
Right. And, we usually do a pretty good job.
I think we do.
So, right off the bat, first person that came to me lately was McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so that's a person?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is Bob McDonald's.
Oh.
He came to me and said, listen! Yeah, I'm not going to do his voice because he gets real mad. But basically, the point was, you know, the Beanie Babies are dying out. They're not selling like they used to, everything.
I'm sorry. Cut to Bob McDonald's getting very mad at Eric about doing his voice.
That kid better stop doing my voice or I'll have him ground up.
I'll draft your memo right away, sir.
Cut back.
His secretary is furious by her voice, too. I don't...
Freeze. Cut to his secretary getting mad about him doing her voice.
Oh, that Mark.
Is he making you angry?
You know, they always tack on an imitation of my voice to your voice.
Those asses.
It's like we are chained together like Sidney Poitier and the other guy in The Defiant Ones.
Shut up.
All right.
Cut back. But, so the Happy Meal hasn't been, you know, doing it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want something, some other kind of enticing, you know, package. Something like a Happy Meal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to get a certain demographic in. Something aimed at a certain demographic.
So not necessarily kids anymore?
It could be. But, you know, maybe the teenagers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, we need something. Something hip, package deal kind of thing. So I sat down, and I came up with the slightly Happy Meal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cheeseburger, small fry, and a Prozac.
Okay.
And so it balances you out. You're slightly happy.
So it's like a single cheeseburger, you know? Yeah. You're not getting freaked out. It's one patty of meat. You know it's there. But, you know, it's not like a double cheeseburger.
No.
It's like, wow, once I make my way through this one patty, there's a whole nother patty.
Right. But see, and see, that's the thing with double cheeseburgers. You got to do, it's a tandem patty eating.
Mm-hmm.
If you manage to get the, both patties out that way.
Well, and you got to be really enthusiastic to, like, you know, open your mouth that wide.
Right, exactly.
Whereas with a slightly happy meal and just a single cheeseburger, you can, you know, cram it in there.
Right.
Not a whole lot of...
And then... It's the fries that come in the bag, not even like the cardboard box fries, but the baggy fries. So
yeah,
it's like, a small amount of fries.
Know, great, I've got fries, you know, but they're not, yeah.
The Prozac balances you out when you're all done, you know? Slightly happy meal.
Does it have a drink?
Oh, yeah. You know, your choice of small beverage.
Okay.
Because to wash down the pill.
Mm-hmm. Your choice of, like, maybe a water, I think, would be a good idea there.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll write that down on the notes.
Your choice of a water. So, like, gives you a choice of, you know, water. And, you know, you can be happy about the fact that I chose water number three.
Yeah.
But you don't get all that enthusiastic because, you know, it's just water number three.
Well, right. But, you know, so that was my idea.
Does it have a toy?
That's where I was hoping to get some help from the rest of the crew.
Ooh, okay.
Being you. Something to, you know, keep that tone.
Okay.
Well,
you know, you have to give them something to inspire a little bit of joy in them, but something, you know, obviously they can't get too enthusiastic about, I suppose. You know, I mean, if you were, suppose if you were developing an aggression meal, you know, you could go out there and, you know, get a rock, you know, like slightly passive-aggressive sort of meal. Wherein, you know, it's a rock, you know, you don't get all that enthusiastic because, you know, it's just, you know, it's out there. You can find it on the ground yourself. But it is kind of cool to have in there in case you want to peg somebody across the restaurant in the head with it.
Right, yeah. See, now, this is the kind of thing, I mean, there, we could, right there, you just said something, maybe a line of different meals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not just the slightly happy meal. The aggressive meal is good.
The aggressive meal, where, like, somebody has, like, somebody in the back takes a bite out of your burger and then puts it in there.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
The maudlin meal, where, you know, the melancholy meal, the ecstatic meal.
Mm-hmm.
We could do
the ennui meal.
The ennui meal. That's a good. That is very good.
Yeah, the prize is nothingness.
Exactly. The sexually frustrated meal.
Oh, sure.
That's a good one.
Where it's you know.
That's definitely a chicken nuggets meal.
Yeah. Okay, I see that.
I mean, I don't know, I just get a feeling.
Slightly undersized chicken nuggets,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, small chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can't really play with them or anything.
No.
You just got to eat them right away.
Right.
Yeah, as quickly as possible.
Never enough sauce that comes with them.
No.
And especially designed these really small containers. The containers are so small that the chicken nuggets don't even really fit into them either.
Audio footnote, there's a bunch of people sitting out in the main part of the studio who laughed very loudly, like, instantly when Mark said not very much sauce, and I don't know, I'm going to just assume that they were laughing at us, which makes me feel so good.
Can I come in?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think so. I don't think I have the radio on out there.
Okay, well, they were just laughing. I'm just saying, I'm going to imagine it was at us.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
that makes us feel
better.
There's
no problem with that.
Feel good, man.
Okay.
Get out of, you gotta bring in the fantasy down, man.
Okay, well, I'll leave then.
No, I'm getting it out of the audio. It's fine.
Okay,
it's fine.
I'm
going to end audio for now. So, I mean, we could just do a whole line of meals like that.
Sure. The, you know, reinforce your own fantasy meal. Where it's, you know, it's bread and there's some, you know, meat around the sides, you know, like there's not a whole patty because it's, you know, pretty much an O, you know, so there's no meat in the actual middle
like
of it.
Like a meat donut?
Yeah. But you can look at it and you can think, oh, I've got a whole burger, you know? Somebody out there likes me.
How about the, I hate my roommate and I'm going to kill him while he sleeps meal?
Oh, what's that one like?
Well, that's a bad idea.
I was thinking for the slightly happy meal.
Uh-huh.
We could just give somebody plastic, you know, like plastic that looks like it might be part of a car that a whimsical cartoon character might drive or something. Smells like that plastic. Isn't actually anything, but it gives you that momentary joy. You know, you smell it. It's, oh, wow, this could be part of, you know, a great little action figure that I'd make run around the table or something.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Passive-aggressive meal. I was thinking that we could just put, like, dirty dishes. You know, things that passive-aggressive people leave around to, like, get their point across. Mm-hmm. Dirty laundry. Empty Coke cans. You know, it's like, you know, you don't pick up after yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put these here. Yeah. I was thinking we could do something like that for them. I'd say aggression meals, you know, a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
well, you
Dallas
know,
has that unfortunate history of people just walking in there and opening up, you know.
Well, you really want the repeat business anyway, you know.
Right, exactly. You do. You do. You don't want to send them right to the slammer.
No, you don't.
So, bad idea there.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, like, rock was probably the best idea. Because it's the best way to really get your aggressions out without killing someone.
Ow!
And see, that's the best one. Aggression meal is the best one because it breeds its own sales. you get one mother-brother buying an aggression meal, throwing that rock. Everybody's Ow. Buying aggression meals because they all need to throw rocks back at each other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got people buying hundreds of aggression meals a day.
We've just got to develop a non-reusable rock. That's the main thing.
In this consumer culture, people don't understand the concept of reuse. So
I suppose they don't.
That's the funny part of it, is like watching the person get hit with the rock, then, and digging in their purse or wallet, and then going and buying, instead of just picking the rock up, going and buying a whole new, then discarding the food, because starving people don't really exist, and then throwing the rock at someone.
And yeah, we could even start up rock recycling programs just to fund our own rocks,
yeah.
You know?
Good idea.
Yeah, we don't even need to collect the rocks ourselves.
Right, right. Oh, McDonald's gonna love us.
Mm-hmm.
So, real quick, here's something I worked up, just a little bit.
Okay.
So I worked up, and so here you go.
Well, you know, it's, you can see the sun through the clouds.
Yeah.
You know, life seems like such a sham sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, consumer culture paints the world as a happy little paradise when really outside it's just sort of sunny.
Yeah.
Job prospects are okay, but they're not great.
Yeah.
My clothes sort of fit, but not exactly.
Yeah.
I just want to eat some food outside and don't want to be made to feel as if it's all a lie.
Daddy?
Yeah.
I don't really know what you're talking about, but since Mommy left, we haven't really eaten. Can we go somewhere for dinner?
Sounds like somebody said McDonald's.
Try McDonald's new emotional meals. That's all I've got so far, but you know, I thought there was a poignancy there.
Mm-hmm.
Almost has the resonance of that old Coca-Cola commercial with, like, who was that? Joe Green? Who was it that threw his...
I don't remember.
You know, and the kid says something to him, and he throws him the Coke. Mm-hmm. And the football player throws him his jersey. The famous commercial.
He gets a jersey out of it?
Yeah.
That's worth more than like 50 cents for
Coke.
Yeah.
And back then, deal. Coke may have been 50 cents. So.
Yeah.
But it's kind of got that resonance, you know, that cultural iconic thing, culturally iconic thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
People remember that dad and that little girl forever. Audio footnote, I find it infinitely amusing that I really can portray a little girl just by slightly raising my voice and then pulling back on my projection. End audio footnote.
Audio footnote, behind the curtain, see how the magic is done. The illusions before your own eyes.
Before?
After.
End audio footnote. You got a spy in my audio footnote or something?
No.
A plant in there or something?
Well, I did leave that hibiscus, but...
Ah. Well, I'm not watering it anymore, then.
Oh, come on! I don't want it to be a lobiscus.
Okay.
A lobiscus! Hibiscus!
Wah!
Oh, the comedy's fast and furious tonight, folks! Eat me. All right, so did you have anything?
Well, I was, you know, I've been throwing around a few products. Been throwing around, trying to expand upon the idea of tie-dye wear. You know, tie-dye wear for, you know, people who, you know, don't, you know, ostensibly to associate oneself with hippie culture. Also to, you know, be able to have a dirty shirt and make the dirt look like it's part of the art, you know. And it's very popular among people who don't like to wash themselves. And I was figuring, They've only really done that with shirts, though. You know, that's the thing. It's only really come off with, you know, the... And there's a lot of other things that people wear, that people surround themselves in. And was working on, you know, kind of expanding that empire, allowing people to have an entire... It'd come out, you know, kind of colorful, but it didn't run anymore.
Okay. Well, you know... There's a hardware problem there, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get that wet.
No, that's true. And I really haven't come up with...
Can we take the chassis off?
Well, that's a lot of effort right there.
Well, yeah. And that pretty much goes against the entire ethic of those who wear...
Which is kind of where, you know, like tie-dyed socks got shot in the foot. No pun intended. Really, honestly, no pun intended. Because, you know, a lot of those people, they don't wear socks, they don't wear shoes, you know.
Underwear, so, right out the door.
Right out the door.
How about tie-dyed toilet paper?
Tie-dyed toilet paper?
So you can just keep using the same piece over and over and over again.
It's really not a bad idea.
No, not at all. You can do a whole line of things like that.
Like, in fact, like a tie-dyed, like, hand towel, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, the cloth ones that just go round and round.
Or how about, tidy bowl? Tie-dye tidy? Because that way you never have to flush. The water is tie-dyed.
And so when you go, it's like as if you've, you know, added to the constellation that exists there.
Right. And until you have to climb up on anything in order to poop, you should be fine. You know. At that point, it's no longer a toilet, but it's a pretty good compost heap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? You can grow your Mary Jane in there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that I was throwing around. Another thing I was throwing around was the idea of umbrellas. You know, a lot of people have problems with umbrellas in the rain. Not so much, you know, remembering to bring them. But although people do have that problem, myself included. But, you know, you'll be walking down the street if you've been so lucky to remember to bring an umbrella in the pouring rain. And other people may be walking alongside you who don't have the umbrella. And the question always is, you know, do I let them share a space, you know? And what I was working on is the personal space umbrella, where, you know, you ensure it so that people don't necessarily want to share your umbrella, to keep people away from your umbrella so you don't have that whole uncomfortable sort of thing. I tried, you know, developing smaller umbrellas, but that kind of cuts out the great big fat people market. Right. And let's face it, that's 90-some percent of America. So I didn't want to, you know, lose that whole demographic right there. I was trying rain gutters on the umbrella. You know, the edges are designed specifically to throw rain at the people around you.
That's a good one.
Yeah, to shoo them. Another idea that I came up with, I wasn't really able to make it work physically, but having little men sit on top of the umbrella and throw rocks at people around you keeps people away from your umbrella.
Or how about just a whirling, spinning set of blades along the outside of the umbrella? Just lean over a little bit and take people out. It might work.
If it looks like they're ogling your umbrella.
Or like an oil slick dispenser in the bottom of the handle.
Yeah, see?
People just slip.
And you make your getaway?
Yeah.
Drop like a bunch of tacks or something?
Yeah. That'd be a good one too. Tacks, that's a good one. Smoke screen generator. At the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Whole James Bond kind of car thing going on with those.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, umbrellas don't cost a great deal as it is, so we can add, you know, $150 worth of production cost onto them. Isn't it worth an extra $150 not to have to deal with your fellow man?
Oh, God, yes. I think so, too. That's good. Those are some good products.
Well, thanks. Okay.
How's everybody doing?
How's everyone doing?
Oh, man.
So the X-Men movie.
It was great.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Ballsy. I mean, you know, how many superhero movies open up in at a concentration camp?
Yeah, I was thinking, this is pretty lofty.
Yes.
You know? But then you got to think, they got Bryan Singer to direct it, and he's got some lofty credits to his name, you know? I mean, he's done some heavy work.
Yeah.
You know, this is light compared to the other stuff he's done. So he can, like, that's the only way they could get away with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I thought, yeah, ballsy. And Anna Paquin, really good.
Very good.
I had heard bad things about her. A lot of my friends were very, you know, oh, I don't understand. You know, she's not hot. That was the best argument. She's not hot enough to be Rogue. You know, I had my Rogue friend fetish when I was younger, too, but it's pen and ink, man. Like, let it go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nice to see the white hair. Good job. I was really trying to figure out how they could do that and make it look realistic.
Mm-hmm.
They did a good job of it.
Do they explain in the comic how she got that white
shirt? No, it's just there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. X-Men 158, first time. Actually, she shows up originally in Avengers Annual number 2, and that's when she takes out Miss Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And then she shows up again in X-Men 158 as a bad guy.
With the stripe?
Yeah, and she had the stripe in Avengers Annual too.
Hmm.
So, you know what? Next time I'm at home, next week, I'll dig that out and see if... I haven't read the Avengers Annual 2 in a really long time because it's worth, like, several hundred dollars. So yeah. It's just sitting in a box.
Several hundred dollars to someone somewhere.
Well, right.
But no one that you'll ever meet, unfortunately.
No. Theoretical value is several hundred dollars. But so I'll read that.
I remember when the X-Men movie was announced, you know, like it was going into production like 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and thinking, wow, maybe now I could sell my X-Men.
You know what, though? That movie did so well this weekend. We may see a resurgence in that comic book. Okay, I just did it again. I figured it out. If we start talking about comic books on the air, I'm gone. I'm like, we're on the air. That's what it is. It's comic books, the magic topic makes me forget mm-hmm. where I am. But I really do think we might see a resurgence in the...
Be nice, because if, you know, if you own a great deal more than I do, but if if the X titles that I own were worth, you know, what they claim to be worth, or at least, you know, especially if they were worth what they were, you know, back in like 1993, that's like a year's rent.
Yeah.
I'm taken care of.
I've got, like, seriously, like $50,000. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to work for a year, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's it. I don't have to have a job or anything.
Go back to my grade school teachers. Who's laughing now?
Exactly.
You know, you're still making $16,000 a year at some Catholic grade school. Meanwhile, I knew to buy X-Men 281 when it came out.
I had a lot of copies of that. Was that... Yeah, that was the relaunch.
I think so.
Yeah, that was the Golden Blue when.
Yeah,
when they Golden Blue teams.
That was the other title. Yeah.
Yeah, cover 281 was Jean Grey and Storm back to back in the Sentinel. My friend stole that issue from me. It's one of the few that I don't have anymore.
Oh, that sucks. Might have had multiple copies.
Complete set from 158 up, minus like two issues in the middle there where you stole them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought multiple copies of X-Men number 1 for some...
Weird door. Okay, wait. Just real quick. Audio... Or cut, freeze. Cut to what jails like listeners. What the hell?
Huh?
What's is on this the planet?
I didn't know they knew French. What do they say?
Wow. This is really uninteresting. Cut back. You bought multiple copies of X-Men number 1?
I guess I just really didn't understand, you know, supply and demand. Like, I was thinking, you know, other one's valuable. Maybe this one valuable, too. You know, like, if you print 8 million copies of it, there's very, you know, there's not going to come a point where it's rare and people are, you know, looking to get their hands on it.
Don't worry, dude. I worked in a comic book shop. I did the same thing. I bought, like, 50 copies of Spider-Man number 1 and, like, 50 copies of X-Men number 1. Mm-hmm. They're just sitting in a box somewhere. I managed to sell some of the Spider-Man number 1s.
Yeah.
Because they were in bags and stuff. I had silver ink versions. Okay, let's get off the comic book topic.
Okay.
Woo!
359-9338 is the phone number.
Please call us,
because we'd like to hear from you. It's be good. Especially, we'd like to hear from you direct at 113 North Market Street in Champaign, around the corner from the Amtrak station, who... We give Amtrak and Mike and Molly's a lot of free play by, you know, just plugging them as part of the reference point of our location.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily connote that we especially like Amtrak, you know, that we're really likely to take Amtrak, that we're not likely, or that we're likely to go to Mike and Molly's, or that we're not likely to go to Mike and Molly's. Don't be approaching drunks at Mike and Molly's who look like they may have one sober guy with them and asking if they're the What Jails Like crew, because that's probably in all likelihood not us.
Yeah.
You know, it's... That's not part of our regular circuit.
Right.
So, 113 North Market Street, because as time passes, my mouth is only becoming drier, personally.
Right. And we've done that comic book talk alone, that 10 or 15 minutes of comic book talk.
Yeah.
Deserves a milkshake. You need to bring us the milkshake, because that stuff gets it flowing again.
Mm-hmm. Phone number is 359-9338. We would really, really appreciate it, and we'd love to see you when you come down. So,
even if you can't bring a milkshake, just come by and say hi. Makes us feel good. But if you can bring a milkshake, Mark just looked at me like, Now they'll feel free to come down without milkshakes. Well, no, of course, if you're gonna come all the way down here, you might as well get a milkshake on your way and bring it, but...
Okay, we're gonna go off to a song, but do stay tuned, because public service announcements... ooh, I should have loaded a song while we're talking. Time runs short.
Weepity dee dee da 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 number 8.
Dance, na, little na, monkey, na, dance.
Dance, monkey, boy.
All right, here are the Get Up Kids.